Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here with our second week of exit interviews here on Rob Has a Podcast. Very excited to bring you another one of these. Talking with Beast Mode Cowboy today, who once again out of the game on day nine, voted out of the new Mana Tribe. We'll be hearing from him in just a couple of moments. And then we are going to get back into our This Week in Survivor History quiz with Jordan Kalish. Of course, last night had a lot of fun going through everything with Stephen Fishback on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And then today I'm going to be speaking with Johnny Fairplay. Surely he will have a lot to say about Sandra and some of the other people that he knew from Survivor Fans versus Favorites and his many, many years being a Survivor alumni. I think he probably knows just about everybody, especially the players from beyond the past few years. We'll check in with Fairplay, and then I'm very excited to have Nicole Cesternino back on a voicemail podcast. I'd have to look it up. I couldn't even tell you the last time that Nicole did a voicemail podcast. I'm guessing maybe it was in Survivor San Juan del Sur. I will look it up before we get to the podcast. Get your voicemail questions in robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or call it in 323-282-RHAP and make sure you don't miss any of the podcasts by subscribing robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, so I see that we have Beast Mode Cowboy on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Caleb, are you there?
Good morning, man. How are you?
Very good, Caleb. Sad to see you go out last night on the show, but looking forward to getting into it. But look, the bright side is you went out on 2 feet.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, that's one thing I said at Tribal. Jeff basically was like, so if you went home day nine again tonight, you know, what's your thoughts on that? And I was like, you know, Jeff, to be honest with you, you know, I played the best I could. I played the cards that I was dealt. And at least this time I'm leaving vertically instead of horizontally. And that's the truth. You know, this time at least I walked out and I didn't get carried out. So it was definitely a blessing to have at least, you know, been voted out this time instead of leaving on a stretcher.
Yeah, it was weird that last time you didn't go to any tribal councils, and this time you went to every single one.
that's something I've been talking a lot about. It's really ironic. You know, the first time I played, it just seemed like I was very, very intertwined with my tribe, and we were very strong, and we played as one. You know, this time around, I mean, like last time, not losing any challenges and never going to tribal, to playing for the second time and losing every challenge, going to every tribal, mm-hmm. Was very different. It was very humbling. You know, it's definitely humbling when you play a game like that and you're playing with such great players. One thing you never want to go to is tribal council because anything can happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, this time it was a lot different for me, and I'm good. I'm happy that I actually got to experience the full game of Survivor and the way that Survivor is supposed to be played. So it was an eye opener.
So
sure.
Going back to this vote, was this a blindside, or did you know from before you left for Tribal Council that the votes were coming for you?
Yeah, it was definitely not a blindside. I had a 98% chance, sure, that, you know, I had the thought that I was going home. Just due to how the camp was, it was a very odd vibe. Everyone obviously was saying that I was okay, and normally when that happens, you're not. So just from the mood at Tribe, you know, everyone's like, oh, we're just going to go down here and sunbathe. And, you know, it was all of them minus me. So I took that time to go look for idols. And you know, I literally looked for idols for maybe 2 straight hours when we got back from even before the challenge, I thought to myself, man, if we lose today, I'm going to need an idol. I may not have time later to look. So, you know, all those guys, they were like, they were in Florida just, catching some rays, and, you know, they were out on the beach, just laying on their towels talking. And I thought, man, I need to go look for an idol. And, you know, I seen Haley down there. And at one moment I told Haley, I said, Haley, like, we're legit in trouble. And I said, I think we both need to go look for idols. And basically she was like, okay. And then when she said, okay, she went back down there and laid down, and I said, I might be in trouble.
Right.
So I went to look for idols, and, I just kind of had a vibe that everyone kind of shunned me a little bit. Like, they weren't really talking to me. And, even Ty, like, when he would talk to me, he talked with a very, you know, low, subtle, you know, like a very scared, timid voice. Like, oh, you're okay, you're okay. And the whole time he wouldn't really look at me. So I had the notion that, you know, it's probably me. I didn't know why it would be me, but I had a feeling that it would probably be because Ty and I ended up together. So it definitely wasn't a blindside. They didn't show it, but I actually stood up before Jeff even read the vote.
Yeah, just to say that you were going to be the person voted out?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was going to happen, especially because of the words that were being said at Tribal. I've said this in dang near every interview, but they didn't show a lot. The simple fact of, like, Sierra, for instance, she basically said that I was going home because Ty went to my wedding. And she was, you know, that's basically her exact words were, why would we keep you here? Ty went to your wedding. And I said, well, why would we keep you here when you and Haley have matching tattoos?
What do they have matching tattoos of?
They have matching tattoos of where they played at. They had the country of where they both played together at. And they were both talking about them at camp. They were like, you remember when we got these? And, you know, and they were both kind of laughing and talking and, mm-hmm. and just kind of going, reminiscing about when they played together. And that was something that I tried to use because they tried to use it against me.
Yeah.
And so, no, it was kind of like, well, yeah, you know, Ty came to your wedding. And I stood up and I was like, okay. And you and Haley have matching tattoos. That doesn't mean you go home because of your personal life outside of the game. I don't feel like because Ty came to my wedding and I ended up with Ty, I don't think that should be a reason that I go home. In my opinion, I get it that together I see that you guys think we're, you know, brothers and he won't turn on me and I won't turn on him and we're dangerous together. But I didn't feel like that was, you know, a good fight at Tribal, especially when, you know, her and Haley had played together mm-hmm. before. You know, you can't come at me saying that, you know, me and Ty are good friends. Well, you and Haley are good friends. So what does that matter, you know?
Yeah. What you needed to do is that you should have gotten to the beach and then gotten into a fist fight with Ty and just been arguing the whole time. That would have been good.
Yeah. In all honesty, Ty and I had talked before the game even started previously, and our objective was not to play as if we were that cool.
Yeah.
You know, we had talked pregame, and it was kind of like, hey, you know, this is a new game. Try not to spend too much time around me type of deal because, you know, in all reality, if I had to send Ty home, I would. You know, you have to do what's best for your game. And, you know, but it was one of them things that's like, look, we'll keep each other safe as long as we can type of deal. And that's kind of what I guess that was just our main plan was, you know, everyone's going to expect it. So don't hang around me too much.
Right.
You know, like don't act like you're my best friend. Stay away from me. But you know, lo and behold, it's just kind of, we ended up together with buff draws and, they had the numbers against me and Brad Culpepper was scared of me. And it's just kind of, you know, when one alpha male sees another alpha male, they automatically, I guess they get scared. You know, it's like, oh, there's another alpha male. He's got to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what happened with Brad because Brad wanted me gone. And I believe it was kind of a, you know, wait a minute, I'm the only alpha male in this tribe type of deal. And, you know, and I could see that, you know, if because he's needed. Before I got there, he's needed. And
right.
When I come in there, he's not needed anymore. You know, it's like, you're being used for power, Brad. And now that there's someone like me here, you're not needed anymore. And I think that may be how Brad looked at it. And he just convinced everybody that I didn't need to be there, including Ty. So I guess that was his way of getting me out.
Caleb, did you have any hard feelings towards Ty after the vote? I know you said in your day after video that you didn't hold it against him. But after watching the episode, was there anything that you took exception to that Ty said during the episode?
No, not at all. You know, I you have to be able to separate your gameplay from your outside friendships. And that game doesn't define mine and Ty's friendship and who we are, you know. And it's that's something that I feel that people need to learn and put aside is it's just a game. To some people, it's their life to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was a blessing to even get to play again. And, you know, I still question myself, what did I do to be a game changer? You know, I wonder myself, am I a game changer? Like, what did I do to deserve the title of a game changer. And to get to play with some of the best of the best, I don't feel like I deserve to be in that pool of greatness. When I get in there, you know, it's just kind of, I feel like when I got with Ty, it would have been better later on, like after the merge.
Yeah.
You know, like if I merged with Ty, it would have been good. But the fact that I was on a tribe with him with just five other people, we looked like a huge target together. And I think that's kind of, you know, if it would have been just a big pool of people and it's a free for all, I don't think it would have been looked at the way that it was looked at with us all, you know, with he and I being on the same tribe, you know, with just five other people. So it I don't hold any grudge against him. And I think I showed that, at the end of tribal council, you know, I gave him a kiss on the side of the head and I wished him the best of luck. And, that was my way of saying, you know, I don't hold a grudge against you. You had to do what you had to do.
There was so much talk about the Korong group working together. At any point, did you and Ty and Debbie have any conversation about potentially doing something together?
Me, Ty, and Debbie as a three? No. I had an idea that I approached to Ty, and once again, they didn't show. I had an idea of, I said, Ty, you go talk to... Ty actually that said, hey, I think what we can do is get, Debbie and Haley and we can switch the two votes and, we should be able to have four numbers. And what we can do is me, Ty, Haley and Debbie flipping Sincero home. That's what we tried to get going. But when Ty approached Debbie about it, Debbie straight up said no. She just straight up said no. Mm-hmm. Caleb's going home, and Ty, I think they showed, if I'm not mistaken, they showed somewhere in there where Ty was talking to Brad about keeping me, why I should stay, and Brad convinced Ty that just wasn't the case, that I would be bad for Ty's game later, and that it would be a mistake to keep me. So he ended up convincing Ty that, but. There was a time where Ty and I put our heads together and it was like, look, let's at least try to get Haley at least to pull a tie. If we can at least pull a tie, we might have
T-I-E,
something.
Not Ty Trang, right?
a T-I-E. And if we could at least get a T-I-E, maybe, just maybe, we can make something work to where I'm okay. Yeah. And, Ty tried his part, and I talked to Haley very briefly, and I was like, dude, I basically told Haley that we needed to stick together and maybe try to, you know, make something work, and all she said was okay. And I just think her okay was, I'm getting in good with the girls, and we're going to try to send you home because I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
But, you know, we definitely did talk about it. We tried, and Ty tried, and... I hate that they didn't show some of that, but, you know, they have a storyline that they want to show, and they basically made it look like Romeo and Juliet, and Romeo stuck a knife in Juliet's back.
Now, a lot was made in the preseason about some of the comments you made about Sandra and Tony not being game changers, and I know since then you've walked it back on both of them. What did you end up seeing out there that made you change that opinion?
Well, I want to start by saying this. I honestly didn't feel them things about Sandra or Tony. I, in a way, feel like someone was pressuring me to try to get Sandra out on a personal vendetta, but I heard so much bad about Sandra, I was convinced that really she was bad. Is Sandra a game changer? Of course she is. Of course. Why would she not be? She's won twice. Tony, on the other hand, you know, the only thing I said about Tony was, I was like, man, this guy's walking around with a bunch of fake idols. Were they fake idols? No. But you know, when you're in the process of going to play these games and you're going through the process of starting a new season, the thing that production really wants is a bunch of trash talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. So, of course, a lot of it was just talk, but I do have to backtrack myself.
Yeah, Ms. Call.
because they both are game changers. They're both great. Sandra is great. Tony is great. And when I got out there, I even told Sandra after the game was over, I said, Sandra, you're going to see some stuff from press that's probably going to upset you. And I said, please don't take it personal. I was wrong about you, and I completely was. And I even made a tweet about it. I said, there were some things I said about Sandra that I don't personally believe myself. And so I did go back on that. But out there, Tony is he is what he looks. He is how he's edited, and he's crazy. He's fun. He's always wanting to try something different. I mean, he's digging holes to lay in, for crying out loud, to spy on people. And he's always trying to switch it up. You know, like last time I built a spy bunker above ground. This time I want to build one under the ground. Like, you know, that takes a certain personality to want to switch things up and have fun with the game. Not only just play the game, but enjoy playing it at the same time. And that's Tony. Of course, he's a game changer. Sandra, goodness gracious, she legit was one of my favorite people on the island. I felt bad for some of the stuff that I said, which I never bashed her in any way. I just said, she's not a game changer. She didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. In all reality, if you watch her seasons and how she's edited, it's almost like she doesn't do anything. It's almost like, wow, man, she's just nice. She's just a really nice person. She gets people to like her, and she makes people think that she sucks at everything, and she gets to the end, and by golly, she's manipulated everybody somehow. And that's what I've really seen about Sandra is she's like the mother bird of the nest. She's constantly asking people if they need something. When you ask her, hey, who do you think should go home? She just says, I'm with you guys. Her strategy is very different from a lot of people because you don't really see it. It's almost like a strategy that you can't even comprehend what she's doing. It's almost like, what is Sandra really doing? She's doing something. We just don't know what it's called. It's you know, some people you can say, he's manipulating. Or some people can say that his strategy is getting in the hearts and minds of people to get them to really like you so they have a hard time sending you home. Sanders isn't either one of the two. Sanders is so different that you can't even give it a name. But Sandra out there on the island really won me over. I thought she was great. I thought she was an awesome person. She was colorful. She was spiritful. She was lovable. She was fun to be around. She was fun to talk to. And that's why when the game was over, I had to backtrack and say, guys, I said some stuff about Sandra, about her not being a game changer. I said she didn't do anything in the game. I completely was wrong. Because those, in a way, those wasn't my words. They were someone else's that I was using.
Okay.
But I shouldn't have, because Sandra and Tony both are very great players, and they are definitely game changers.
Okay, heard that. All right, Caleb. Thank you so much. Yeah. I know you got to run. You take care, buddy, okay?
Thank you so much, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Caleb Beast Mode Cowboy Reynolds talking about his Survivor game. And he got some bad intel from somebody who had a personal vendetta against Sandra, who could have been in his ear. I wonder who it could have been. There's only so many suspects. I'm sure that we will talk about that more at another time. All right. But speaking of times, let's go and take a look backwards now into the past of Survivor. And I'm going to be joined by the man who puts together the This Week in Survivor History quiz just every week to try to see if he can get me to slip up. Here he is back again, Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Jordan, very good. Very excited to talk with you. Ready to get some redemption this week after last week's debacle. I heard from a lot of people on social media that they felt like that there was they did agree with me overall. I think it was probably about like a 9 out of every 10 tweets that I saw said that some of those questions were actually poorly worded and thought that they got a raw deal, got hosed last week.
I think you're looking at the fake news Twitter, because every single tweet that I saw,
#IBeatRob.
It was #IBeatRob. I think was trending on Twitter. Most of the listeners beat you on that week. And then also every single tweet that I saw, every comment on the page that had to do with the wording of the question said it was fairly worded. So I believe I was right here. The listeners agree with me. You were wrong. Rob was wrong again. And it was a very, very well worded question.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk through here today. So I will once again get that shot at redemption, and looking forward to that redemption coming. But first, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are the fine people at Beachbody On Demand. I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks on the podcast. This is something that I started doing as my New Year's resolution, and I was very happy we were able to get them to come on as a sponsor of the podcast. I am in week 10, believe it or not, of a workout program, Jordan, where I have been doing workouts from the comfort of my own home. For years, I have tried to go and do workouts at the gym, and I just end up getting membership and I never go. That's where Beachbody On Demand comes in, Jordan. Do you go and do any exercise?
I do some exercise. I do some coaching, and I work out with my team, but you really do want that Beachbody, because sometimes you're on vacation and people start periscoping from their hotel room, and
sure,
you take off your shirt.
Sure.
So you really do want the Beachbody.
Yes. And for me, between all of the hours that I work and having kids, it's very hard for me to find the time to go and do it. But this has been the system that works for me. I watch these workouts in the morning. I do them on my Apple TV. You can do them on any sort of streaming device. That they have a number of tailored workouts for every skill level, including no skill whatsoever, which is what I am at. And they've got a great offer for our listeners of 1 month free of Beachbody On Demand, a 1 month membership. If you just text the word Rob to 303030, feel free to write ROB in your text message to 303030 and get 1 month free of Beachbody On Demand. Again, I wouldn't talk about it if I wasn't doing it. I'm in week 10. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Check it out and start doing some workouts at your home and try it out for free. Just text Rob to 303030. Check out the brand new service from Beachbody On Demand. All right, Jordan, let's get into this week in Survivor history. Now it's time to give my brain a workout.
It is time to give your brain a workout. And a nice Survivor at the Amazon poll there in the ad.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to go.
Can't get anything past the This Week in Survivor history.
No, of course not. I've seen that season too many times, an embarrassing amount of times. So we are going to go actually for all the questions this week. We had a double episode in Survivor Worlds Apart. This was from March 18th, 2015, 2 years ago, this coming Saturday. It was a double episode. We have two game changers who were on this season. So I figured let's just stay in Worlds Apart, which is usually bad advice. But for these questions, that's what we're going to do.
Okay. Staying in Worlds Apart, Jordan. Okay. So
yes, for the whole quiz.
Can you set up the rules real quick for the listeners in terms of what I need to do?
Okay, so here are the rules. First of all, you have a 50-50 that you could use for any of these questions, except for the first question, and I'll tell you why in a second. The 50-50 obviously eliminates two of the multiple choices.
And full disclosure, I forgot that I had a 50-50. I was rusty last week.
You were rusty. You were Robin Rusty.
It was also a two-hour episode. That took a lot out of me.
Yeah, you were like the horse from Seinfeld with the beef arena. Rusty the horse.
Sure, that's a stretch, but yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
Second Seinfeld reference in 2 weeks. But anyway, you had the 50-50. You have the point doubler. On the point doubler, you can use it before any of the questions. If you get that question wrong, though, you do lose a point. And then there's also the legacy advantage, which if you go on a 5-week winning streak, you get an undisclosed prize down the road in any game you'd like to use it.
Very exciting. Okay. So where do we go from here?
All right. So, like I said, Survivor Worlds Apart. This is question number one. You're not allowed to use your 50-50 on this question, but you can use your point doubler. Would you like to use it here?
No, I would not.
All right. This game is called Haley or Sierra. They are the two game changers that were on Survivor Worlds Apart. So I'm going to ask you three very short questions. The answer is either going to be Haley or Sierra. For you to get question number one right, you have to get at least two out of three of these mini questions right. So here's the first one. In the blindfold challenge in which Kelly Remington got knocked in the head, which one of the Worlds Apart game changers was the caller for her tribe?
I will say that it was Haley.
It was not Haley. It was actually Sierra, and she was the one who dropped the thing onto Kelly Remington and made her bleed through her buff. So you're 0 for 1, but if you get the next two right, you will get question number one correct.
Okay.
So who killed the chicken after winning them as a reward?
Who killed the chicken?
Who killed the chicken? She was the one who wielded the knife and killed the chicken. Very relevant with the goats that almost got killed in this episode.
I don't know if I could see Haley killing a chicken. I'll say Sierra killed the chicken.
You're incorrect, Rob. It was Haley. Haley was the one on the no-collar tribe. They won the chickens, and that's when Jen Brown found the idol. So you're going to get question number one incorrect. Not off to a great start.
Who knew?
We'll ask the third question here just for the listeners at home. Who does Tyler compare to a broken puppy?
Sierra.
It was Sierra. She got swapped into the tribe with Tyler. So you do get that question right. Doesn't matter. You're 0 for 1. We are going to go now to question number two. After the immunity challenge, who does Sierra say is dumber than her horses and needs to be voted out? Was it A, Lindsay Kaskaden, B, Dan Foley, C, Mike Holloway, D, Rodney Lavoie?
Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yes. After the immunity challenge, and this is the first part of the episode, the winner, winner, chicken dinner episode right before the swap, who does Sierra say is dumber than her horses and needs to be voted out? Lindsay, Dan Foley, Mike Holloway, Rodney.
I'm not going to use a lifeline here, but I'm going to say it's Rodney.
It is Rodney. That is correct. She wanted to vote Rodney out of the game. She actually does vote for Rodney here. It's part of a 2v2v2.
That'd be a rock draw now.
It would be a rock draw now. It would have been a lot, you know, very interesting to see how that worked out. She gets two votes in this episode, and she's not so happy about it. You are 1 for 2. Good job getting that question right. Now we go to number three. This is the beginning of the second half of the episode, or the second episode of the night, I should say. After the tribal council, in which Sierra received two votes as part of the vote split, which took out Lindsay, Dan Foley attempts to mend fences. Instead, he further alienates her. How does he accomplish this? A, he calls her stupid for aligning with Lindsay. B, he points out specific moments in which she had been a challenge liability. C, he tells her that the rest of the tribe doesn't trust her. D, he repeatedly yells, get wood, get wood, get wood, until she becomes uncomfortable.
I thought D was going to be all of the above.
No.
They're
all things that Dan Foley would say.
Yes. I really don't have a good idea here, so I'm going to use the 50-50.
Okay, so I'm going to get rid of D. He repeatedly yells, get wood, get wood, get wood, until she becomes uncomfortable. He will do that later on in the season, making everybody uncomfortable, but he doesn't do it here. And I am going to eliminate, he calls her stupid for aligning with Lindsay. So your choices are now B, he points out specific moments in which she had been a challenge liability, or C, he tells her that the rest of the tribe doesn't trust her.
I'll say it was A.
So he points out, so B, he points out specific moments in which she'd been a
challenge liability. Yes.
Challenge liability. Rob, you are correct. You have 2 points. Congratulations. You are still in the running to win this game.
Okay.
Very nice job. Later in the episode, Dan attempts to apologize to Sierra for the events of question number three. Why does Sierra call Dan's apology the crappiest one she's ever received in her life? A, he seems sarcastic and insincere. B, he never actually used the phrase, I'm sorry. C, he told her that she had been just as wrong and hurtful as he was. D, he apologized while wearing his mantis.
Again, this is another one I thought D was going to be all of the above. But I will say C. I seem to remember him like trying to apologize, but then also bringing it back around to her.
Yes, you are correct, Rob. You have 3 points. You are 2 points away from winning.
I guess
this
game. I just know everything about this double episode above Survivor Worlds Apart.
You do. It was a pretty good episode. It was actually a big Sierra episode. Not such a huge Haley episode, but we will get to a question about her next. So it was very interesting here where she does, you know, Dan sort of does apologize, but he also then brings up that he was just as hurt by Sierra as she was by him, which is, you know, I don't really get why. She was the one who was voted against, and he was, you know, a lot more bombastic after that tribal council than she was, obviously.
Jordan, so, how dare you imply that my dear friend Dan Foley has some narcissistic tendencies? I think that's a little over the line. And I think you owe him an apology at this point.
Okay, I apologize, Dan Foley. He might have a problem with people like me.
Yes. What kind of people like you? What do you mean?
Every on the exit interview, the first thing he said to you was, "Rob, I have a problem with people like you."
Oh, okay. I thought like historians or quiz makers.
Oh, no. All right. So, Rob, just to go over what's happened so far, you have 3 points. You need 5 points to win. So in order to win, you either have to get the next two questions right, or you have to make one of these a double point question. However, remember, you lose a point if you get the double question incorrect.
Boy, so I have to get five out of six right to win the game? We're really making these rules like almost impossible. Like there's little wiggle room at this point in this game. I think we're getting a little unfair.
There really is very little wiggle room.
Yeah.
If you get four correct and one of them is the double point question, you do win the game. So you can get two questions wrong. You just can't get the double point question wrong.
All right. Let's keep going.
All right. So no double points.
Oh, let me save it.
All right. So question
number
five.
Where would the drama be if I got this wrong? And then there's no way I could win the next question.
That's true. Question number five. Why does Haley get annoyed with Max Dawson? A, he won't stop whistling and singing in the shelter. B, he keeps bringing up historical survivor facts. C, he's eating more food than anyone else. D, he put his wart-covered feet in the drinking water.
So these are that some of these are things that he did that. So I'm looking for the thing specifically that Haley mentioned because
Haley's very annoyed by, and it actually did come up during your Second Chances interview.
Okay. So I know that she got upset that he put his foot in the water, but I'm just worried that this is another one of these poorly worded questions where you're going to say, well, yes, he did put his foot in the water, but, and she was annoyed about that. But in this specific confessional, she said she was annoyed that he was citing too many survivor facts. So
let's see what happens, Robert. Roll the dice. Go with your gut.
Cause I know from that episode, she definitely was mad when Max put his feet with the warts into the cooking pot.
So is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
You're correct. Not okay. A poorly worded question. Jen Brown wasn't too happy about the historical survivor facts. In fact, I think she would be very mad listening to this this podcast of all these historical survivor facts. She's not such a big fan of that.
Yeah, you think that would be the only reason?
Yeah. So you have 4 points. You need one more question to win. You have your point doubler. Probably, you know, I mean, if you, whether you use it or not, you, you win the game if you get the question right. And if you don't use it, you win. If you get the question right, you win. It doesn't matter if you use the point doubler or not. So would you like to use it?
All right. Why not?
Very good. Which previous tribes, and now this question has nothing to do with the game changers, but it does have to do with survivor history. So question number six, which previous tribe swap did Max Dawson compare the Worlds Apart tribe swap to at Tribal Council? Was it A, Survivor of the Amazon, B, Exile Island, C, Micronesia, D, One World?
Boy, this is really tough, Jordan.
Think about the tribe swap. Think about
I got to think about it. No, I do know the answer to this question. Max did compare the newly swapped tribe, the new no collar tribe that he was on. He compared it to, and I wish I could remember the name of it. I think it with the tribe name was Monono. That was the tribe with Tarzan and Leaf and Colton and Monica. So I guess we do have some connection to a game changer from Survivor One World.
That is absolutely correct. And Rob, you have won your first game of the season. Congratulations. Good job remembering that. He does compare it to the Monono tribe because they were by far the physically weaker tribe in the Worlds Apart tribe. So just like the Monono
Colton
tribe was.
Famously compared to it's like Greek gods versus peasants.
Yes, Greek gods versus peasants or Nagarote versus Eskimeca in future history.
Sure. That's right. All right, Jordan. Well, job well done this week.
So is it only a good job if you win the quiz? Is that the deal here?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't seem fair, but you did win. You're on a 1 week winning streak. If you go if you win 4 more weeks in a row, now you win the legacy advantage again. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe we'll have a little vote in the patron group of what it should be. I don't know,
but
you'll win something, but you need to win 5 in a row. It's a long way off.
Sounds good. Just a programming note. So next week we will not have the This Week in Survivor History segment. It looks like if we're going to have 2 tribal councils, we'll just have a double exit interview that day. It's a quick turnaround for me on the East Coast in New York. So Jordan is probably going to be very hungover after the live know-it-alls as well.
Most likely. But the good thing is I will get to see everyone at know-it-alls. I will be there. Very, very excited. It's always a fun night.
All right. Say hi to Jordan Kalish at the live know-it-alls and follow him on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. Is there a hashtag for this week of Rob was the best?
Hashtag same as always, either I beat Rob beat me.
It'd be very tough
or
to beat me.
I tied. Well, yeah, you got 6 out of a possible 7. So if somebody got that first question right and then got all the other ones right and used their point doubler, they would have beat you. But you did a good job this week. You have to get a perfect 7 points in order to beat you. So hashtag I beat Rob, hashtag Rob beat me, or hashtag I tied Rob.
All right. Good stuff. Take care, Jordan. Bye.
You too. Have a good night.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That's This Week in Survivor History. Back on the right track. Back to my winning ways in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. So that's going to do it for us here today. I'm going to get set. I've got my interview with Johnny Fairplay coming up pretty quick, but there's still plenty of time for you to get your voicemails in for my podcast with Nicole. I am going to be recording that in the evening Pacific time here on Thursday with Nicole. So get those questions in. Rob has a website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Looking forward to all of that on the podcast with Nicole. One more time, the sponsor for this episode of the podcast is Beachbody On Demand. Want to get beast mode? Check out 1 month for free on Beachbody On Demand. Text Rob to 303030. And also lots of thanks to all of you guys who have been using the Amazon.com links that we have. RobIsAWebsite.com/Amazon. Haven't been talking about it a lot lately, but I always appreciate you guys that remember to check that out to help support Rob as a podcast. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Looking forward to reading what you have to say in the comments, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.